What do you get when you get a well-known actress to play a really important character in your TV show almost 10 years ago, and then that actress explodes in popularity and wins an Oscar? I guess you make sure to give her a TV movie. I'm Solo today, and we're talking about Star Trek Section 31. Everybody, welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd. Drew here. My name's Drew, and I love Star Trek. And today, we're going to take a little bit of time while Miles is enjoying his wonderful vacation to talk about Star Trek Section 31, the new TV movie that has hit Paramount Plus. And, oh man, where to begin with this? You may have seen a number of things calling it the worst thing that has ever been a thing. The worst Star Trek, certainly the worst Star Trek movie, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want to break down a few things about this movie and then sort of put a little ribbon on it, tie it up, and let it go. Because some of my reactions you might find a little surprising. So to give a little background, Michelle Yeoh, cast as Philippa Georgiou, the captain of the USS Shenzhou in the original season of Star Trek Discovery on CBS All Access back in the day, where she was. Oh, by the way, spoilers. If you don't want to know, just go watch the movie. It's luckily only 90 minutes, but I'm also going to be spoiling some of Star Trek Discovery. So again, if you don't want to know, I'll see you next week. But okay. So Michelle Yeoh is cast, and a little bit of stunt casting as Captain Georgiou in Star Trek Discovery, and she is killed in the very first episode of the show. Her sort of second in command, Michael Burnham, the main character of the show, then has a hard time dealing with that, basically taking responsibility and is ultimately responsible for her death. And then as the show goes on, the mirror universe is a thing. And just for the record, I, by and large, love the mirror universe. I don't love all the ways that it is depicted in Star Trek Discovery, because I think they put a hat on a hat with some of the mirror universe stuff in that show. But again, I have an adoration of the mirror universe, so I let a lot of that go. And as it turns out, the Empress of the mirror universe is the mirror version of Philippa Georgiou, Emperor Georgiou, who had in that universe adopted that mirror Michael Burnham as basically her daughter. And so there's a lot of weirdness there. Georgiou ends up coming back to the regular universe as part of the story, is a character working for Section 31 in Season 2 of Star Trek Discovery, goes with them to the future in Season 3 of Star Trek Discovery, where because she's out of phase with the reality and separated far enough in time, she gets sort of, she starts having, you know, these horrible pains and science-y nonsense. And so the Guardian of Forever, yes, the Guardian of Forever from Star Trek, the original series, sends her back to some point in time where she was going to be needed. And that was it. Then Michelle Yeoh went on, and it was shortly thereafter announced that there would be, they'd be making a Star Trek Section 31 TV series, which is like, oh, cool, except I don't like how Section 31 was used in Star Trek Discovery at all. It was not supposed to be an organization that anybody knew about, but it's apparently just Starfleet CIA. It's never really sat well for me when they did that. But, you know, there was some hope that when they announced this series that maybe her going back in time would, like, make it the Section 31 that we would eventually see in Deep Space Nine. Yeah, that didn't happen. But, you know, things happen. a whole bunch of stuff. Filming was delayed for this reason and that reason, her other commitments, and then the COVID-19 pandemic and all of this stuff. And then she went on to win an Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once and become hugely, hugely in demand. And so the TV series that they were going to make was condensed down to a single TV movie. And that's what we get with Section 31. And because of how all of this works and because she's a huge name, they made a lot of sacrifices and changes. Namely, they wanted to have it be something that you didn't have to know a lot about Star Trek to enjoy, which here's asterisk number one. Here's stamp of disapproval number one. By doing that, they make it extremely generic. There's talks of phasers and photon torpedoes and transporters, and there are sound effects that if you know what a tricorder sounds like, then you know what a tricorder sounds like. And you have one character, which is the only character outside of Georgiou herself that is at all referenced in anything else in Star Trek, and that is Casey Rohl playing Rachel Garrett. Rachel Garrett is best known for being the captain of the USS Enterprise C in Star Trek The Next Generation, specifically the episode Yesterday's Enterprise, where we learn all about that. Go watch that episode. I'm not going to spoil it for you, despite the fact that it came out 40 years ago, whatever. But here she is depicted as a lieutenant, and doesn't even show up in a Starfleet uniform, first of all, which I guess is fine for what they're doing, but it's just, they don't really land anything. This plane takes off and nothing really lands. Georgiou herself, Georgiou herself is operating as the owner of this huge space station nightclub place, like a Den of Iniquity kind of place. It's all really cool and there's cool costumes and all of that. And Section 31 is going to go there to recruit her to be a part of this whole, you know, weapons deal that was supposed to go down on her station. Fine. And then, as it just so happens to turn out, the weapon itself is directly related to her time as Empress in the Terran Empire in the Mirror Universe. And it's like, but they sell, which they don't know at the time. They don't know until the deal actually goes down. But it's like, that, why would you do it that way? Why wouldn't you just make her the focal point? Like, this whole movie is trying to set up that, you know, Georgiou grew a conscience and that's why she's, you know, da 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 da, but she's hasn't really paid a price for her time as the emperor of the Terran Empire, who has slaughtered literally millions of people and created a weapon that would destroy an entire quadrant of space. That's the MacGuffin of the piece, the godsend. But her involvement in the whole thing is just happenstance. And it's like that in and of itself is like, why would you not make this a point to actually make it about her? Like, it's not, the story is about her, but it's not about her. I don't know, that it's dumb to me. Then we have a whole other host of characters, these Section 31 people. I mentioned Rachel Garrett already, but you've got Alok, who is sort of the leader of the team, who has his own shoehorned in backstory that, oh yeah, he's from the 20th century. He was not an augment. He was not a part of Khan's people, but he was captured and kind of halfway made one. So he's got his own thing going on. It's like, whatever. Sam Richardson, the very funny Sam Richardson, you may know him from Detroiters. You may know him from The After Party. He's a very funny guy. I Think You Should Leave. He's in a bunch of sketches on I Think You Should Leave. He's maybe the only saving grace of this cast, because he's the one that has the best comic timing. Because that's another thing about this movie. They really, really leaned into the comedic, like they tried to do witty banter. And it just doesn't land. It doesn't land at all. Sam Richardson's character is maybe the best at it, but it's not a great script. It's little things like you have Rachel Garrett being told by Michelle Yeoh's character that, oh, she's too stuck up, but she's really a chaos goblin. And the reaction is, chaos is my friends with benefits. And it's like, none of this language works for these characters, works in the universe. I don't want to say that they used AI to write this script, but it's bad. It's very bad. Then you've got some other characters in this cast. You've got a guy named Zeph who wears this big exoskeleton, but he's also kind of obsessed with the exoskeleton, you know, whatever. Fuzz, who, when we saw all the trailers, we see a Vulcan laughing maniacally at everything. Well, turns out he's not a Vulcan. He's a very tiny microscopic dude called a Nanokin driving a giant Vulcan robot body. So with a, quite frankly, sometimes passable, often hilarious Irish accent. And rounding out the team, you have Mel, who is a Delton. And Deltons have shown up a little bit in Star Trek, but the most famous one is Ilya from Star Trek The Motion Picture, the bald lady. And Deltons have irresistible magnetism, so they say. And they are often forced to take an oath of celibacy when they join Starfleet. But her whole deal is that she hasn't taken that oath. But you don't have to worry about her because she ends up getting killed pretty early and is maybe one of the most interesting things about the movie. To cap all this off, we've also got a series of backstories for Georgiou as in her youth in the Terran Empire. And I don't hate this, but it doesn't make any sense, which for the record is really a tantamount to the entire film. Apparently the Terran Empire in that age uses a complicated Hunger Games situation to find their next emperor, which is the first time we've ever heard anything about that. Granted, we don't know a ton about the Terran Empire, but it's like, why? And so we're also introduced to San, who it was like her rival, but also they were in love with each other, but she ends up winning because she's willing to kill her whole family. Again, all of this stuff is happening in her background. And yet in the present day where we are, it's like, oh, I'll eat you up if you're not careful. You know, she's just doing like sort of sassy talk. And it's like, well, they don't give her any chance to live with her mistakes. Like they introduce some of the mistakes, and they just don't give her any opportunity to have any sort of redemption. But we're also treated at the end as if she has had redemption. So again, this was a TV series condensed down into a movie. How many episodes that would have been? Would it have been any better? I don't know. The performances in the backstory were great. And we're introduced to San, the sort of the paramour turned like number one slave, to Georgiou, who dies, supposedly kills himself, but as it turns out, no, he didn't. And this is another thing where it doesn't, this is where, again, things fall apart because Georgiou entered the main universe of Star Trek about, I don't know. Well, where this the backstory where we learn about where the MacGuffin is like 15 years before the original series of Star Trek, where San fakes his death, and we learn later isn't actually dead, and then events happen, and Georgiou comes to our universe, then goes into the far future, and then is flung backwards. Well, we know that if Rachel Garrett is there as a lieutenant, it's got to be like 30-ish to 40-ish years before the Next Generation, which is, again, 30-ish to 40-ish years after when San would have died. But he has not aged at all in that time. And they never explain it. They never explain that aspect of it. But, you know, people live longer in Star Trek, I guess, is what they're going to say. So there's plenty of justification for that. But yeah, so I'm starting to ramble. But basically, this movie operates in three chapters that are each about 30 minutes each, which, good Lord, thankfully, this is only 90 minutes. If this had been any longer, I think it would have actually driven me crazy. But here's where I have a surprising thing to say. Watching this, do I think this is the worst Star Trek movie ever made? No, I don't think it is. I think there are at least two worse Star Trek movies and maybe three. But the reason I think that is because this movie is nothing. It doesn't have any ties to anything with Star Trek. It's barely Star Trek. I mean, you could show this to someone and just call it Section 31 and remove Rachel Garrett saying anything about Starfleet, and it would just be a hokey, schlocky TV movie, because that's all this is. Is it fun? It's actually fun in some parts. A couple of the fight scenes are pretty good. A couple of the fight scenes go on way too long and have too many effects that make them kind of, you know, janky. But I didn't hate everything about it. If you'd come in with the lowest possible expectations, which I did, you could have a good time with this, knowing that it's not really very good. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't damage characters the way that some of the other worse Star Trek movies do. I like this more than Star Trek Into Darkness, for example, because I think that does actual harm to storylines and characters and character development. This, hilariously, by the way, the actor who plays San, the sort of the antagonist of this movie, was in Star Trek Into Darkness as a Section 31 member, which I find very funny learning that. But yeah, this is, it's just nothing. Like, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. And this is what I guess is the biggest disappointment of the whole thing, is that this is the first time that we are doing a Star Trek TV movie in the streaming era. The first time that we have them using characters and situations that they set up in TV series to do kind of a one-off thing to maybe give a little background, you know, and the hope was that if this was successful, that might open the door for, you know, a Lower Decks TV movie, or revisiting a character from Picard, or revisiting a character from Discovery, or anything like that. And it fails on a lot of counts, but it just mostly fails for being bland. The jokes don't land for the most part. The story doesn't really land for the most part. The costuming's pretty good, but, you know, who cares if what you've got filling it is people kind of just doing it for the check. And that's really the kind of the most disappointing thing about it, is just that I kind of wanted it to be better, but I kind of wanted it to be worse, and it's just not. It's just kind of nothing. And I think there's been worse. It doesn't mean anything. And that's, like I said, that's the most disappointing thing of all. So with that said, that's where I'm going to wrap it up. I don't want to take you guys too long without somebody to talk to, because then I'll go crazy. So with that said, if you want to reach out to us, you can find us at themoreyounerd.com. Email us themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. And join our Discord. Our Discord is not at themoreyounerd.com. It's actually at cosmiccrit.com, our sister show, where we play the tabletop game Starfinder by Paizo, and it's awesome. Go to cosmiccrit.com in the upper right-hand corner. Look for the Discord link. Click on it, join the Discord, and talk to me and Miles all day. We will be back next week with some new fun things. Can't reveal anything yet, but it's going to be awesome as we kick off 2025 with our first deep dive topic. So with that said, gang, we will see you next time. Nerd out.